grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, love boat, bud, buddha, blunt, pot, pet, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come here, man.
Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Do it, man.
Chris Valley from The Hemp Store, welcome to the BFM studio.
Kia ora, Johnny.
Now,
thank you for having me.
As tends to be the case, there was a massive blockbuster of a cannabis story pretty much straight after Marijuana Media last week.
It's yeah, it happens. We're just going to have to do it on Fridays as well, sorry. Okay. No, yeah, it was in America, old Joe Biden, he has announced, and people have probably heard, a proclamation by waving his magical hand. Has proclaimed that people who had a conviction for cannabis possession, simple possession, they called it, where it's, you know, not tied up with other things, I guess. That's been immediately just wiped, just by the wave of his hand.
Really?
Yeah, just
immediately
done.
Just done.
Just happens, just like that. And in fact, the very word he uses, I'm not sure if I can say it, because, you know, maybe I will end up wiping something. In witness whereof, I have hereunto set my hand. And with those words, people are magically pardoned.
But just so, gone off the record.
Gone. So the thing is, though, this is at the federal level, which is really what he's got control over. Now people who have been convicted of possession at a federal level are only about 6,000 people. But those that have got it, or anyone who was in jail, they say there's probably none, but they would be immediately freed. Those ones are wiped. And anything going way back into time. That's a very cool thing. And then he's called on all the local states, their legislatures and governors, to do the same thing. And I think that will have an even bigger effect. And you're talking hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions, that have convictions over there for that. So that'll have a big thing just by the very fact that the president's called on them to do it. So a whole bunch of them will. And then the third thing, this is the biggest part of it, which probably actually got the least coverage. And that's that they're going to review the scheduling of cannabis over there. And like here, it's in a pretty stupid schedule, but it's even worse over there. It's in Schedule 1, which is like lumping it in with heroin. In fact, it is. And it says it has no medical utility and all these sorts of things. It prohibits banking. It gets in the way of a whole bunch of things. And so what could happen as a result of this is they could downschedule it, or what they call rescheduling, but they could also deschedule it, which is just remove it completely from their Controlled Substances Act. And that's actually on the agenda. It's not so far-fetched. This is one of the things that could happen. And if that happens, there won't be an absence of law. It'll just be down to the individual states, who all have their own laws anyway. So those that want it legal can, and those that don't can't. That's a potential outcome of that. And as I said, that'll have a huge impact on access to medical cannabis and even things like international trade, perhaps, or all sorts. So big.
What does it mean for little old New Zealand? Is it just like they're showing the way and we should jump on the bandwagon and follow suit?
I think so, yes. absolutely. And it's interesting, you know, they were the home of Prohibition. They were the ones that kickstarted it and told all the rest of the world to do it and ramped it up and created the war on drugs and three strikes and all these kinds of things that have ended up coming over here. And as that's being wound back, you know, this is part of it. This is part of the winding back of Prohibition. And here we had the amendment in 2019 that allowed police discretion, right? And we have had a huge reduction in the amount of arrests, but the disparities of who they actually go after remain, and they may even have been entrenched by letting police make it up as they go along, you know, and not giving them, you know, clear guidance or actually changing, you know, the legal status of cannabis. So what we have is something like in Southland, 10 times the chance of being arrested if you're caught with cannabis, right, in Southland, possession, 3% chance you'll be arrested. If you're caught with it in Auckland, 30% chance you'll be arrested. So what's up with that? You know, it's because the police have no guidance, and they're, it says to let them or give them a warning or whatever it says, unless it's in the public interest. The public interest, they kind of can interpret, I guess. But one of the things that they define it by is, are you showing contrition and are you likely to do it again? So if you don't do that, then you will be arrested, and maybe you'll be arrested anyway, you know, based on what you look like and things like that. So, you know, the need is still there for change, despite the referendum result. And Drug Foundation, bless them, done the count to see how that would apply here. Between 1980, so not even going all the way back to the beginning of the Misuse of Drugs Act, 1980 to 2021, 124,344 New Zealanders convicted for use or possession of cannabis.
124,000 people.
124,000. So probably most of them still be alive, but let's assume, you know, whatever, however many are, it's a lot. It's a city the size of Dunedin or something like that, carrying these convictions around, affecting their ability to get work often, accommodation, custody of children, all sorts of things, right? Mm-hmm. Can have really serious impacts, travel. Anyway, there's lots of ways it could be done. Now, Andrew Little, bless him, in response to all this, and I think Chloe Swarbrook kicked off a lot of the local coverage by calling on the government to do something. And Andrew Little, in response, said, well, no, we don't have the powers of POTUS, of the President of the United States. You can't just pardon, you know, wave your hand and pardon it. And to an extent, that's true. Like, those magic words I said, that doesn't happen here.
Mm-hmm.
But Parliament can still do it. And this is something that Helen Clark, in fact, pointed out as a bit of a public reprimand, that actually Parliament's already done it. But under her, they did it under Helen Clark's leadership. They did it for the Great War. They passed a piece of legislation through Parliament that pardoned soldiers who had been wrongly convicted and often executed, in fact, you know, for treason or cowardice or whatever it was, like the things they did back then, right? Mm-hmm. So they were all pardoned by an act of Parliament. And then I think that was under the Nats, there was another one came through to allow people who have convictions for being homosexual or, you know, that, before that was made legal, for them to be pardoned.
So there's a precedent.
Absolutely precedent, okay. Right there.
Yeah.
There's a couple of other ways it could be done too, that I pointed out in my blog, on the Daily Blog. You could actually change the Misuse of Drugs Act so that that section doesn't record a criminal conviction.
Mm-hmm.
And you could change the Clean Slate Act so that rather than it kicking in 7 years of good behaviour and a bunch of other conditions, it's just automatic for cannabis use or possession. So, you know, a couple of ways you could do it. So let's give it a go.
Obviously you've been following how this is going, but do you think there is any momentum for, you know, something to actually happen, you know, in the near future? Do you think there's a will from the government to actually move on this issue? Or are we just relying on Chloe to just keep kicking up fuss?
Well, the government MPs, or certainly Andrew Little and Kerry Allen, who's the Minister of Justice, are saying, well, we took this position about the referendum and that's what we're doing. But, you know, that referendum was a very specific piece of legislation. Andrew Little's bill, 150-odd pages of, you know, jargon and legalese. That's what people rejected. Mm-hmm. And polls since then have shown the Drug Foundation and the Helen Clark Foundation together did a poll, showed 69% for cannabis law reform, either legalisation or decrim, and 80% support for removing the criminal penalties. Mm-hmm. So
could Wayne Brown do something here in Auckland now that he's mayor?
You know, he could. And this is our parallel with what Joe Biden said in terms of calling on the local states and governors to do things. Well, we don't have local criminal convictions. You couldn't pardon people on a local level, but you can have local laws. We already have local alcohol laws. We have alcohol treated differently all around the country.
Yes.
And we see that even in Auckland, West Auckland, Mount Wellington, Birkenhead having licensing trusts. So you can do that. We have, you know, the fuel tax and, you know, there are local laws. So that could happen. But you could also, at a kind of informal level or a de facto level, the mayor could actually negotiate something like a memorandum of understanding with the local police, which sets out how they're expected to behave or what kind of outcomes they're looking for. And that could put cannabis right down the bottom, for example, or specify how people should be treated if they come across, you know, and that they should be let go, and that the Auckland Council doesn't expect to see anyone in court for this, and maybe some KPIs and measurements that they can assess it against.
Great way to make some savings.
Exactly. And to make our town centres safer by freeing up the police to do things that they're actually needed to do, like the ram raids and the street crime, not the actual wasting their time looking in people's pockets for weed.
Very interesting, Chris Valley. There's a lot of food for thought in this one.
A lot of food for thought. Hopefully someone's listening.
What do we do? I mean, as just me, I'm just one human. What do I need to do? Write to my MP? Write to Wayne Brown?
Yeah, absolutely. Particularly Andrew Little and Kerry Allen, I think, the ones who seem to be blocking it, and just pointing out, well, hey, it was that bill that was rejected. That doesn't mean you can't do anything. And certainly pardoning, I mean, that's not cannabis law reform. That's just doing a pardon. And same with the descheduling. At the moment, we're in C1 and B1, which is the heart harshest categories of the Misuse of Drugs Act in those classes. And B1, for example, where you're in with amphetamines and N-bomb and things like that. And by being in those categories, you get extra police powers and you get harsher medical access.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, you could deschedule it through there. Again, that's not legalizing. They can stand up and say, oh, we're following the referendum still.
Mm.
But you can lessen the impacts, you know, these unnecessary impacts of the current law.
Mm-hmm. Now, Chris, was there anything else in the news that you wanted to cover off this week, or is it just
we got this vape to give away?
Oh, we do.
Ah!
Here we go.
So we mentioned it last week. We gave everyone a little bit of a heads up. You know, I've got a vape here. This is actually prescribed in Ireland to patients. Government over there pays for it and gives it out to patients.
Mm-hmm.
The ministry here wouldn't give me permission. But anyway, we've got the same thing, but under the other brand.
Yes.
And so it's the Oleo Panacea is how they prescribe it in Ireland. And instead, we've got the Vivant Ambit, which is the same thing, but it's in black instead of white. And so I've got one to give away. But as a bit of an incentive, and we said this last week, it's got to go to someone who's got a prescription for cannabis, for flower, for bud.
So if you're listening out there, 5395 is the text line. You must have a prescription.
Right on.
Okay. You had a week to get yourself... to get everything in order to go and see a doctor. What a sweet prize, by the way.
It is, actually. I really enjoy it. I can sit out there outside the hemp store with my legally prescribed cannabis flower and chuck some in when I'm feeling a bit anxious or in need.
Yes.
And away you go. It's lovely. So, and you know, no coughing. It's nice and smooth. It's very nice.
There you go.
I thoroughly recommend.
You can grab these from the hemp store?
You can indeed. Mm-hmm. And but get one for free if you want to text in now.
Okay.
And maybe we'll grab two in case the first person turns out they don't have a prescription.
All right.
And then we'll have a backup. So that'll be awesome.
You'll need to collect this from the hemp store and show your prescription.
Yeah, it's on your little pack. It's just a little sticker. If you just flash me your pack, that'll be enough. I don't need to know anything more.
Okay, excellent. Hey, Chris, what else is happening?
And then we can enjoy a little vapor, together, if you so desire.
What else is happening up at the hemp store?
We had a great drug testing last Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it set some sort of record for 60 samples, which is just fantastic. Just shows the huge demand out there. A whole bunch of people bringing in their cannabis and cannabinoid products and getting them tested to see what the strengths and potency and whether they've got anything weird in them. For people who left samples, just keep an eye on their site, the Level OrganZ, and you see the results pop up there over the next couple of weeks as they get the fuller testing done on them. And the next one, people want to get ready for that, next first Thursday, 3rd of November, you can bring all your stuff in and get it tested.
Excellent. We've had a few texts coming through here, Chris. So, texters, I'll give one of you a phone call very shortly and we'll sort this out. Hey, thank you very much, Chris. And everyone out there, go check out the hemp store up on K Road or go have a look online.
All right, cheers.
Do it, baby.
That was Marijuana Media.
Thanks to the Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.